when the air crew came up, oh, and by the way, I said, what time was the, to this chappy, I said, what time is the air crew due here? He says, well, it's supposed to be here now.
So they were late.
They were late, quite late. And I don't know what transpired in between, but anyway, eventually I heard the aircraft start up its engines, and it trundled to the end of the extension, because the old aircraft took off from the extension end, so the last thing they would be doing would be flying in front, or still taking off in front of the control tower, and they could see what was going on. Now, the aircraft was sitting at the end of the runway for a good 20 minutes running the engines. Now, this is the first time I've ever experienced it, and I thought, what on earth are they doing that for?
How long would they normally run engines for before take off?
Oh, you just hear them sort of rev up to turn around, because they wouldn't necessarily get into play straight off.
Yes.
You would hear them rev up and probably just give the engines a good run, and then you would sense the brakes were off, and you would hear the noise, because we're so close to the runway. You'd hear the noise as they came down, and you could virtually tell whether they were still on the runway or they'd got airborne. There was that slight difference.
Did the engine sound healthy to you when you were listening to
them? No, if I remember right, they were Allison engines, and they sounded sweet. All of the power was there, you can sense that. And, well, I also sensed that it was airborne. Now, it was quite uncommon for the aircraft to be airborne before it passed my billet. And so I thought, oh, good, they're on the way. And they barely got beyond the end of the runway, then there was complete silence. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's gone in. And so I immediately got out of my bunk, put me sand shoes on, and I went down to the beach. I should think I'd be one of the first down there. And sure enough, the aircraft was floating on the water, and let's get it right. Now, it's taken off from the extension here. It'd be airborne somewhere about there. It'd be swinging round, and it finished up somewhere out here. And it was only about half a mile out.
So it was out in the Mediterranean?
Yes. And it was floating for quite a while. There were other people came alongside, and I was more or less fixation on the aircraft. And somebody sort of yelled out, oh, there's a boat to our left. Let's go and see if we can get it off. And now the boat was looked like an old lifeboat. Now, again, where am I? There's the north. Now, the boat was just near there where the toilets were, right near,
yes.
Right near the front here. But when we got to it, it was too heavy. Even when we lifted it, there was no oars inside. So we had to just abandon that.
How many of you were there on the beach at that point, do you think?
There was very few. I would say there would be less than 10. So most of the people had not bothered to get out of their billets at all. And it was just sad just watching it go down. Now, you did hear the people inside, and but it gradually subsided, and the only thing that was stuck out was the tail. Now, about half an hour afterwards, then there was the motor torpedo boat had come round from the dock area. I reckon they'd had to crew it up, and it would be the rescue boat, and it did come round at speed. Now, the boat was still afloat at that time, but only just. And now, of course, I've got to go back to the very beginning. The aircraft was a daylight aircraft, and therefore it had no reason to have a radome, and therefore the top of the fuselage had no exits for emergency. And so even if they got out from, I believe that these people that were below the good, the goods where they were on one level, where the, I'd see the lorry them put in. But I've read since that the actual people of authority were below that, more or less sitting between the undercarriage area in the bomb bay. Modified, I can assume. I didn't see that. I didn't know it existed, but I've read that since. And so the aircraft only had one exit, and that would be through the pilot's window. And so they were trapped.
Do you happen to know if the Liberator had a system like the dinghy that you had on the Wellington that could have been deployed?
Well, mostly the daylight aircraft of the American type would be flying over land, mainly. And I would have thought that there could well have been parachutes, but I doubt whether there would be a dinghy. If there was one, as I say, it's the first time I saw one, and I wasn't looking for details of that sort. I was just admiring the aeroplane.
Now, I think in one of the papers you quoted, it was saying that the pilot was the only survivor, Lieutenant Chow.
It was, I've been reading since, that it was actually the co-pilot that was saved. Now, I don't know how to go on from that. I think he was taken round to the hospital, and he stayed there for a long period of time, and apparently the impact had knocked him out, and he couldn't remember what had happened.
He had concussion, presumably.
Well, I imagine so. It's all hearsay now. We've gone back to from the factual to the hearsay. So I don't know exactly how long he was in the hospital, where he was taken to beyond that.
You were saying in your written account that it's possible that the way the luggage was stowed had jammed the control.
Now we're getting into my
opinion,
into my thoughts now.
Yes.
And so this is not fact. This is just what I think could have happened. And I think that the time that the air crew were being so long coming along, that they decided, and I'm talking about the General Sikorsky and all his people, were taking the liberty of thinking that they were being a help, and that they were putting all this luggage, and there was a lot of it. They'd spent a great deal of time in the town itself, and they bought goodness knows what, and there's quite a number of crates. Now, if you don't know much about aircraft, then you think that that's fine, but knowing aircraft, you have to think of the centre of gravity, you have to think of where are the controls, and you have to think that it's a floating cargo. And that is, if you're going to brake hard, accelerate hard, climb or turn, it's going to move. And it doesn't matter what they do, they should make all those items secure. Now, it's guesswork, but I suspect that that these boxes or anything could have probably been put higgledy-piggledy, probably one on top of another, so as to leave a corridor, and if it got close to where the control rods were, which I did see, there was two of them. It wasn't wires. I've read in some of the accounts since that it's cables. The one I saw, I'm quite convinced, was there's two tubulars, and every so often there would be knuckle joints, so as to follow around the universal knuckle joints, that it would follow around the shape of the aircraft. Now, if they tied just one item to that, it could foul the controls. Going back to where the aircraft was running for 20 minutes or so at the end of the runway, I think that the aircrew suddenly realised that this was not in a good condition for flying. And I reckon they were making some attempt to put matters right. Now, to have all these boxes and strapped, there wouldn't be enough straps. Because depending on what the aircraft was being used for, then I doubt whether they would have enough facilities to anchor everything that was there, because they were all odd sizes. Some of them, I understand, was crates of whiskey and things like that, because wine and spirits was cheap. Now, that's all supposition. But I think what had happened is that the aircraft on taking off had certainly climbed up, and that so he had the possibility of pulling the aircraft control backwards to get it to lift, and then when he put it forward, that one of these boxes has got onto a knuckle joint, and that he couldn't.
So it jammed it.
It jammed it. Mm-hmm. Now that's supposition. Mm-hmm. Now if it pushed it forward enough to level out, it wouldn't be flying level. You've got to put your nose down to get your tail up again. Mm-hmm. So then it would be pulling back again, and that's when it locked. And I reckon it was just in a shallow dive and went straight in. Mm-hmm. And now, it was instantaneous. The noise, dead.
Just stopped.
Just stopped. All four. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear any sort of splashing?
No.
You also mentioned that subsequently there were a lot of rumours that Sikorsky had been assassinated. Were such rumours current at the time, immediately after?
No. There's all sorts of things being written up. One of the accounts was saying that that the runway lights were on and all this rubbish, and it wasn't, it was daylight. Another one said that that it was sabotage, and that if you go back to this drawing again, if you go back to this drawing, now this barrier here, this frontier, was chain mail, but it only went a little bit onto the sand.
Yes.
And hardly into the water. Now, it'd be quite easy for a person to come round, swim from Spain. And they weren't very friendly towards us. So there's a possibility there. Another possibility, of course, is that you could have people coming across the frontier.
Yes.
Now, we allowed a lot of people into the frontier. Now, they don't necessarily all have to go out again. Mm. Now, there was no patrols along here. Mm. And so, therefore, if there was a person that was dodgy, that could look a bit like a service person and walk straight amongst the aircraft.
What was this area of beach here patrolled or guarded?
No,
at all?
No, none at all. No, it never was.
Another thing you describe is how subsequently they recovered the Liberator. And you mentioned heavy lifting gear. What sort of heavy lifting gear was available for?
Now, this is another incident, isn't it? Yes. Can I just go back to General Sikorsky for one point?
Yes.
This goes to church. One of the members of at the church is a lady. She's a lady. And she said, I heard you talking about General Sikorsky. I said, yes. She said, one of my relatives was on that. And it's a person they couldn't account for. And I have in one of the books there that she gave me all the detail of that person. Now, whether it's of interest to you or not, I don't know. But I can show it to you later on if you like. Change of subject. Now, what was you asking?
Well, you were saying that later they took the Liberator they lifted the Liberator using heavy lifting gear, and I just wondering.
No, they didn't. I can't recall that. I think you mixed it up.
Well, no, it's from your your written account.
Unless it was a barge, and I can't recall that.
Right.